And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090. Pete Gray here with Rock Cod Rick Mexa. We're in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here, right next to the San Diego Landings on a beautiful day here in Southern California. And Bill Barney, surf fishing expert. Boy, what a great show. Learning a lot about surf fishing. Just getting flooded with phone calls and texts.
It's been awesome. I always love it when Bill's on here. There's so much to cover and so many little tips and tricks about surf fishing. And I think that's one of the things that I love about it so much. On the basic, it's one of the easiest, accessible, inexpensive fisheries. Grab yourself an inexpensive rod and reel and grab a bait that you catch at your feet and fire it out and catch a fish. On up to, I mean, just the most advanced hunt for, you know, a very difficult fish and everything in between. It's such a cool topic and it's accessible to everybody. And we're having a great time talking about it and just hope to continue this in the second hour. And we want to talk to you about it. If you want to give us a call this morning, our phone number is 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090. Your chance to talk to the expert and Bill about all your surf fishing questions. Also, you can text the show. The text the show option, we actually had a couple of questions about it earlier. Texting the show is only available via the Let's Talk Hookup app. So if you want to send us text, just download the Let's Talk Hookup app. It's a free download on your Apple or your Android device. And as soon as you fire off that app, you'll see right away the text the show option. And today, you want to make sure to also include your name, where you're texting from, and your phone number so we can call you back, because we're giving away some killer prizes at the end of the show today. We have two packages, one for available for the callers, one that's available for the texters, and it includes the Bill Barney Surf Fishing Book, The Light Line Revolution, a surf fish identification card, a really cool card, like Pete said, showing all the fish up and down the coast, that 2022 CCA Bill Barney calendar, and the Crab and Go Sand Crab Bait Catcher. So a really killer couple of prizes. Again, one for the phones at 213-432-1090, and one for the texters on that Let's Talk Hookup app.
Yeah, now, JP, our phone guy, man, the phone said that he had somebody call and say, well, what's the text number? Well, there is no text number. You just go to... you have to download the Let's Talk Hookup app, and right on the Let's Talk Hookup app, it just says text the show. You just hit that button, and that's all you have
to
do.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, that's how you text the show.
And we should say, too, it is a one-way system. Unfortunately, we don't have the ability of writing back to you, so there's not a question interface. But we definitely get them. We get far more than we're able to read through the shows. It's been hugely popular, but always keep them coming. We have a great time reading them, and hopefully we'll read one of yours, and hopefully you'll be the big winner.
Yeah, and that was the brainchild of our good man, Adam, Adam Clark, who created that whole thing. That was brilliant.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was really good.
And super to use. Super easy to use.
Oh, super easy to use. Yeah,
fun.
Here's a good one that came through from Greg in San Clemente. Bill, I really enjoy your seminars at the Fred Hall shows with Wesley. Have you ever fished with him in Cabo? And if so, what was your trophy?
Yes, I have fished with Wesley Bro, Cabo Surfcaster on Facebook. He's an incredible angler. As a matter of fact, he's on the cover of the calendar again this year.
Yeah.
two years in a row. And he is just an incredible surf angler. The picture on the cover here is, I don't know, maybe a 25-pound Dorado. And he's got everything from a 500-pound lemon shark to a giant grouper, all in the surf.
Crazy.
All in the surf. Incredible. Magrino Beach is a place that he fishes quite often, which is about 17 miles north of Cabo San Lucas. And yes, of course, I fish with him numerous times. Okay. As a matter of fact, I did some articles about him in Pacific Sports Fishing Magazine and Western Outdoor News, talking about him as he was kind of really starting his career down there. So he is an incredible angler, and he uses completely different equipment than we would use. The Pacific side of Cabo there requires very heavy equipment. So we use 12 to 14 foot rods there, 6,000 size spinning reels with anywhere from 60 to 120 pound braid on it. And we'll fish those, you know, 5-6 ounce Ranger lures and stuff so we can give a good cast into the wind and get it out there and just crank those things back in as fast as you can.
How exciting is the bite? Because those Rangers are so visual. A Ranger lure is like a cross between a surface iron and a popper, and it's you see everything with that jig skipping around. Like, how exciting is it when there's a Dorado or a Yellowtail or something, you know, head out of the water trying to chase that thing down when you're standing in the on the sand?
It's unbelievable. I mean, sometimes a rooster fish, you know, we saw one maybe about 60 pounds run itself aground following that thing, and because it was coming in so fast to try
to
get that what it thought was a bait before it got to shore. It ended up on shore itself.
Wow.
So we got a good picture, turned it around. Hey, did you catch that? No, not really.
Not really.
Grounded itself.
Wow.
But, you know, there's boats out there that are not too far offshore because it drops off so quickly there in the Pacific and the West that are marlin fishing that you can almost hit with a lure.
Wow.
So just about anything. I know in Mag Bay, having hooked a marlin from the shore in Mag Bay on 12-pound test, which was a goner, that there is the ability of something even that big from shore. So, I mean, it depends on what time of year I'm down there with him. If we're fishing this time of year, there's some huge Sierra.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sierra just are going off like crazy. They remind me a lot of Bonita, like in the King Harbor area and stuff, where they'll just find a bait ball and boil up right offshore, and you go running down the beach and make a cast into that boil, and off you go. So there's anything from that. There's hawkfish, which are these beautiful, like a giant, it's kind of like cross between maybe a perch and a sheep's head with the big teeth that it has, and grouper. Dorado, yellowtail, just about anything from the surf down there. It's amazing.
That's because Wesley guide.
Wesley is a guide.
Yeah.
And the great thing about Wes is that he's got a beautiful brand-new truck. He will meet you down in the harbor at Cabo, right, you know, maybe half an hour, 45 minutes before the sun comes up. He has all the equipment. He gets you into his four-wheel drive truck. He takes you up through Cabo San Lucas. You'll drive through an area that you normally never would go through, which is where all the locals live, really quite interesting.
I'll bet.
And then up to Magrino Beach, right out onto the sand, because you can drive out on the sand there, and he'll take you fishing. You'll last about 4 hours, maybe, if you can, because that rod and reel combo is heavy, and you're running up and down the beach fishing there, and then he'll bring you back. He's a fantastic guide. He'll be done by noon, and you'll probably have a trophy fish.
What a cool experience.
And
that's awesome.
And it's Cabo Surf Fishing?
It is Cabo Surfcaster on Facebook.
Cabo Surfcaster.
Surfcaster.
Okay. Does he have a website?
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't.
He's just on Facebook, and you go on there and you can look at his pictures.
We need to get the two of you on here together sometime.
Yeah,
that'd be
fun,
that would be really cool.
We have got to get him on here. And, you know, another thing he does sometimes, too, is he'll have his buddy take him by boat out to some little island somewhere that is either inside the Sea of Cortez or right off the coast there, and drop him off really on a rock, on a rock out there. And he'll fish the day out on the rock. And often he'll bring his drone, and he'll be able to have the drone film going, video going, while he's fishing below it. It's really cool.
Wow.
The guy's an amazing guy, and I really like it. I love him, and I'm so proud of all the things that he's done. And he's really come up a long way from his beginning days of hanging out in Jansen's Tackle Shop to what he does today.
That's cool.
That's great. Yeah, great story. Well, the phones are packed up. I know everybody's really excited to talk to Bill. Again, if you want to get your shot, they're totally full right now, but plenty of time in the second hour. It's 213-432-1090. We're going to talk to Will, calling us from San Diego this morning. What's up, Will? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Yeah, thanks for the show, gentlemen. I have about 60 years experience fishing a couple of sand beaches in Baja, about halfway between Rosarito and Ensenada. And the fishing has really dropped off significantly in, say, the last 15 years or so. And I wondered if you had any explanation for that. I have an idea, but I wanted to hear what you thought first.
Well, you know, that's a very good question. Once again, unscientific. One thing for sure is that area of northern Baja has very cool water. And until you get down below, maybe about 20 to 40 miles below Ensenada there, is where the water begins to get subtropical and warm up. And it's very possible that the food sources that certainly the perch and the big perch in that area had, and the corbina and so forth, have somewhat been mitigated either by moving themselves or being caught. San Quintin would be a great example of, you know, back when I was in high school in the early 70s, the clams, the Pismo clams in that area were unbelievable how many there were. I mean, there were literally like billions of them down there. And then many of those were harvested and used for clam tacos, of all things in town there, among other things. So maybe some of that bait that was there or the food that was there has been displaced and those fish have moved. I don't believe that the water temperature has changed, particularly down there. And as far as the commercial fishing is concerned, we never really came across a lot of inshore commercial fishing with netting and stuff that would have taken all those fish. So my guess is that they've moved on to where their food is.
Okay, good. Good question.
Great question.
Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Another text here. This one is from Mark, he has a question about Crystal Cove. Bill, what's the deal at Crystal Cove? I can fish there, but I can't pick sand crabs up off the beach there?
That's exactly right.
Wait a minute.
It's an odd...
Yeah, it's a weird one.
Yeah, it's one of those places where it's got both things going for it. So they protected all, in Crystal Cove there, they have protected all of the things that live in the sand and in the tide pool. So you can't take any mussels there, and you can't take sand crabs off the beach there and use them for bait, but you can fish there and you can keep the fish there. And that was an agreement that the state park made when the MLPA closures were coming about, because the people who run the state park there, Winter Bonin in particular, who is one of the interpretive specialist there, they love fishing and they wanted fishing to continue. So when the MLPA came in, they said, we don't want to close this area completely to fishing, and we're willing to make this compromise. So you do have to import your bait into there to be able to fish there. But I must tell you, the very first year I went there to do a seminar and met with the rangers there, we were down on the sand, and one of the lifeguards looked up at us, who was sitting in his tower, and he said, hey, I want to take a break. We were looking away from the water. And so he put on his wetsuit and grabbed his spear, and off the water he went. Well, I was talking to these rangers, and I was telling them, oh, you know, we're going to do this, and we're going to meet over here. And all of a sudden, I noticed they weren't paying attention to me, and they were actually starting to walk away from me. It was because he had just speared about a 40-pound white sea bass.
Whoa.
And he was pulling it into the sand. They said, we got to get over there and get our fillet before they're all gone.
Wow, cool. That's way cool.
So, yeah, just take your bait down there yourself, and you're perfectly fine to fish there.
You can do that. You could even get sand crab from another bait and bring it down there?
You know, technically you're not supposed to move your sand crabs, but I don't think there's a big problem with that.
But a mussel, a clam, a squid strip, a ghost shrimp, any of that kind of stuff.
Exactly, all that stuff. And just bring it with you down there, and you use it, and that's fine.
Cool.
That's the strangest rule I ever heard.
Me too. Yeah. I'm blown away by that.
Good that you know our new Bill would know that.
It's kind of the oxymoron of fishing.
Yeah. No doubt. Well, this is another question, kind of similar relation. Question for Bill. My daughter's going to UC Santa Barbara, and I see a lot of beach when I'm driving up to visit her. Are all those beaches open to fishing? I'm concerned about MLPA areas that I should know about. That's from our buddy Roy in San Diego.
Hey, Roy. Yes, most of those, if not all of those areas, are open along the way. I also was a graduate from UC Club Med, so I know that area very well. I was a lifeguard on East Beach there for 5 years and lived up there for 8 years, so very familiar. And some of the great spots, like one of the best Corbina fishing spots in all of California is up there.
No kidding.
At Carpinteria. Carpinteria in August, September. So what happens is, as the water warms from the southern swells that come up in the summertime, much of the bait, much of the sand crabs move north. And they kind of, for whatever reason, congregate in that Santa Barbara, northern Ventura area. And so really some of the largest Corbina you'll catch will be in August, September, up around Carpinteria Beach there. And if you go to the beach there, which is a state beach, and you park there, you would hike south from there, and about 2 miles south, a mile and a half south, is a big oil pier. And that area is very few people frequent down there, and there's a lot of large rocks that are right offshore where there'll be a rock and then a big area of sand, and the rock's kind of all by itself out there. If you fish up against those rocks as close as possible, that's where you find the fish feeding. And so really that area, Santa Claus Lane is really good. East Beach in Santa Barbara is good. There's a graveyard that's just south of East Beach that's really well known for halibut fishing there. And then all the way up by the university. You just have to look for the areas that have less kelp and eelgrass and fish those areas.
Is that just for the sake of cleaner fishing, or do those kelpy eelgrass areas just not hold the same concentration of fish?
Exactly. So think, for example, like if you had a pool in your backyard and the wind blows and it blows leaves and sticks into your pool, you wouldn't really feel like diving in and swimming in the pool. You'd use your net and clean it out first. And that's the same thing with surfish. If there's kelp that's living there and it's attached to the ground and it's part of their environment, they're used to living around it. But once it breaks loose, once it's swashing back in the surf, they don't want to be in that area because it's hard for them to feed and they don't want that rubbing up against them. So I always look for areas that either are in between areas like that or have none of that kelp at all or a very small amount of it, and find it's much better fishing than areas where the water's polluted with that.
Great answer.
Good info.
Awesome, man. Awesome.
Good info.
Well, speaking of good info, it's time to find out what's going on the water with our FishDope.com report from Dave Hansen, your saltwater guide. Today, the Catch Report, sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Not only do they offer the best processing for your fish when your trip returns to the San Diego landing, but now with your private boat catch, you can they'll also do it with your private boat catch. Now you can also purchase smoked fish, jerky fish, all their spices, rubs, their smoked cheese, the famous tuna burger, that amazing poke kit. It's all available at their new location in Old Town on Taylor Street. Call for details or order online at fishermansprocessing.com. And this is the single best time of year to be purchasing from Fisherman's Processing because of the holiday specials that they offer. They have Small Business Saturday offers.
Three rubs for $20, 10 rubs for $60. What great stocking stuffers.
Huge. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So cool.
Yeah, give it to your coworkers. You know, everybody loves the fishing.
Absolutely.
And then they have the party trays.
We're a sweet, right? Cajun household.
Oh,
we,
boy.
You know, if you're getting three rubs, all three of them are that. That's our favorite.
I know, me too.
We put the sweet Cajun on everything.
And they're using 10% off of everything. If you want to order online, just go use the code CYBERSUNDAY as your coupon code.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's at fishermansprocessing.com, and take advantage of those.
Yeah.
They're great gifts.
No doubt.
And very unusual, too.
And yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Everybody's going to get really good use out of them. The packaging's really nice. They just do such a good job. Everything that Fisherman's Processing puts out is done right, for sure.
You bet. What's up, Captain Dave?
Your saltwater guide. Well, what up, Dave?
Well, good morning, Rick and Pete and my friend Bill. It's always fun to listen to Bill, I'll tell you. His voice is very soothing. If you're stressed out, just listen to Bill for a few minutes, and he'll calm you right down.
What if we put me and John Ireland in the same room, man? It's a time, right?
You better give me Red Bull.
Yeah.
Be out.
Yeah. The polar opposite of Captain Dave. The polar opposite.
We compliment one another.
That's right.
Yes, we do. It is definitely fun to sit and talk to you. But hey, you were talking about another phenomenal human being is Wes. If you, any of Pete or Rick, do you guys ever get a chance to go down to Cabo and go hang out with Wes? The young man has so much history. He's born and raised in Cabo. He can tell you every rock, every cranny, every piece of sand, and he's got a story about what he caught on each piece. It's pretty cool to hang out with Wes, right, Bill? He's the man. He is pretty spectacular.
That sounds great.
But he's pretty cool, and he's very, very humble. And mm-hmm. I asked him if he wanted to get involved in what I do, and he was like, I have plenty of work, Dave. I'm good. I'm just going to keep cruising, doing what I do. I'm like, all right, well, that's cool. Okay, so look, we talked about it last week, and I just got off the phone with Danny Pete. There's so much squid at the Channel Islands right now, and it's everywhere. And then I have a guy that works up there on a yacht. He said that the halibut fishing at Santa Cruz Island, between smugglers and prisoners, you can pretty much get yourself a nice halibut right now if you got a little bit of that live squid. There's pretty much a really fun fishing right now. The weather is the best that they've seen up there all year. It's just absolutely gorgeous, flat, calm, 65 degrees. Yesterday they said it was just one of the most beautiful days at the Channel Islands that they've seen in a very, very long time. And their tanks are full of squid. The rockfish fishing up there is off the hook. But the big deal is the couple of guys made it over to San Miguel Island and fishing in 50 feet of water. They had full speed lingcod fishing, flat, glassy, calm. They were using sliding sinkers and a squid catching lingcod in 50 feet of water. Pretty spectacular. And it looks like we got a little bit of blow on Tuesday, and then it's going to get right back to buttery conditions up there. So the Channel Islands, if you have a boat right now on a trailer, you might want to get up there because I think it's a powder keg. I think it's going to go. We're going to see some sea bass and some yellows coming there very soon with all the food that's up there. Then over at the Cortez, Tanner didn't, like we talked about, as soon as the weather calmed down, the Freedom was over there yesterday. The Condor was over there yesterday. They both had limits of that bluefin, that catchable size, 20 to 40-pound fish. They're seeing a little bit of that bigger fish out there also, but there's yellowtail in the mix out there at the Tanner. I know on the 9 they were catching some yellows there. And then while you wait for that bluefin and that yellowtail to bite, you got plenty of rockfish to catch out there on the Tanner and the Cortez. And then along the coast, I know Gundy just talked about it, a trickle of sea bass up and down the coast, fishing in the surf. So that tells you that that squid is creating a whole new fishery up there in that Marina Del Rey area. And then, like Mark was talking yesterday, there's squid off of Long Beach now. I just think we're just hanging out waiting for some more spectacular fishing to happen. I think if you got a boat right now and you're not out fishing, I don't know what you're waiting for. The weather doesn't get any nicer than this. The rockfish are biting. The ass are biting the squid up in Marina Del Rey. They had really good fishing on the New Del Mar for that sand bass up there. So there's really no reason to not go fishing. And I think, Rick, your area down there is just about ready to start. Those squid beds are about ready to start with the cooler water and squid being everywhere. I can't imagine it's not there. It probably is, and they're just not talking about it yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing, you know, how beautiful the weather is now and the availability of possibilities of what's here and what's to come. I mean, it's you know, let's take advantage of it.
And let's not forget the part that wasn't overshadowed. You did a great job talking about. There's limits of bluefin for the guys on the bank.
Yeah.
I mean, limits.
Crazy.
Again, like, we always talk about it when it gets to be this time of year, but if this caliber of fishing was available in May, it would be every boat full, everybody off the dock, everybody free. I mean, it's limits of, you know, 20 to 40 pound bluefins on the bank. I mean, great fishing, limits for all the boats that were there. It's just it's really, really cool, Dave.
Yeah, I think maybe they just like to fish when it's super rough. Maybe that's the deal.
Yeah.
They just like to go out there when it's really, really rough. When
yeah.
it gets calm, nobody wants to go.
Bluebird skies right now, like calm ocean and good bluefin
Beautiful.
Fishing. We'll take it.
Yeah, and of course,
absolutely.
FishDope.com, like you say, Danny's on the pulse of that squid and everything else. $20 off a new membership to FishDope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW. Lowercase, no space. Hook up now is your $20 code on FishDope.com. You want to know what's going on year-round? FishDope.com. What a great gift for
yeah.
your angler, too. $169, but wait, use the code, $149 for a full year. Every time your gift receiver gets that, they'll think of you. It's like, hey, thanks. I'm really glad that
That's
so-and-so
sweet.
Gave me this gift. And, Dave, how do we find you?
Well, gang, I got a gift certificate offer going on. Also, check me out at yoursaltwaterguide.com. We'll take care of your gift. If you need something for your friends or your family or somebody, check me out, yoursaltwaterguide.com. Plus, if you want to learn how to catch all those fish that Danny steers you towards on FishDope, check out my website, yoursaltwaterguide.com. I got you covered. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you next Sunday. I can't imagine how good it's going to be by then.
Thanks,
yeah,
Dave.
Man. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate that very much.
All right.
Good
talking to you. That's going to wrap up our catch report from Dana Landing on Mission Bay. That's your one-stop shop for everything that you need to go fishing, a complete saltwater tackle store. They have a full deli, snacks, beverages, ice, and boating supplies. And when it comes to freshwater tackle, check out East County Bait and Tackle and the new Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, full of all the freshwater tackle and live bait that you need for a great day on the lake. Dana Landing is right across from SeaWorld next to the Dana Lawn Tramp in Mission Bay. And East County Bait and Tackle, they're at the end of the 67 Freeway at Mapleview and Lakeside. And the new Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, that's on Broadway in Lemon Grove. Check DanaLanding.com for more info.
Hey, some great texts coming through. I keep them coming through the Let's Talk Hookup app. Jose from Fallbrook wants to know, how do you fish sand crabs on light gear? All I have ever used is a high-low rig with a pyramid sinker on 25-pound line for the last 15 years.
It's very easy. You just want to use the Carolina rig. It's a really simple rig. It's made up of a sliding egg sinker, a bead, a swivel, leader, probably about 8 to 22 inches of leader, and a very sharp hook like this Gamagatsu hook.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's the kind of the rules to remember about when you set up that rig. Sinker-wise, your sliding sinker, you're going to be anywhere between an eighth of an ounce and a 1-ounce sliding sinker. why would you use an eighth ounce? You'd use it in a scenario like right now where the water is very calm and there's very little water movement, so you can go with a really light sinker. If the bigger the surf, the heavier the wind, the heavier your sinker is going to be. All surf fish feed right on the bottom, so you want to make sure that you're on the bottom all the time. So you get bigger surf, bigger wind, so let's say you're surf fishing in the afternoon, you might want to use 3/4 ounce sliding sinker. And then below that, you can use a 6-millimeter plastic bead. You can use glass if you want, but plastic in general. I usually fish a clear bead in the summer because corbin have very good eyesight, and they see an orange bead or a green bead below there, they're not going to come after your bait. And the reason we use that bead is it keeps the swivel or the knot on the top of the swivel from pounding sand inside of that little sliding sinker, which will bind on your 6-pound test and easily break it. So you want to use the bead. And then below that, I use a number 10, a 12, or a 14 barrel swivel. I always use black swivels. I don't want to have a brass or a zinc plated swivel, because as the sun comes out and shines on it, it's like a little piece of jewelry down there. And the big fish, once again, they got big by being smart and they won't be attracted to it. So I'll use a black swivel, and then I use 6-pound fluorocarbon leader. And the rule on the leader is the bigger the surf, the shorter your leader, because once again, you want to remain on the bottom. So bigger the surf, the heavier your sinker, the shorter your leader, and then the smaller the surf. So just when I was fishing yesterday, the day before that, I was fishing an 1/8 ounce sliding sinker with a 32-inch leader, really long leader, because there was so little water movement, I wanted a big distance between my gear, my sinker and swivel, and where my bait was. And then at the bottom of that rig, you can use a number 1, a number 2, or a number 4 Gamagatsu split shot hook. Once again, that's the 50409 model. And then another hook that is available too that will work well for you is the Owner Mosquito hook. So that's how you're going to set it up, and off you go, and put that sand crab on there and cast out, slowly retrieve to shore. Always be tight to your sinker. Never ever allow slack there, because remember, all surf fish, regardless of which kind they are, inhale your bait, they crush it in the back of their throat, and they spit the pieces out and eat them. So if you've ever thrown out a sand crab and you get bites, you get it back, has no eggs and no legs, but your hook's still there, and you always wonder, like, how did it eat all the way around that hook? It's because it crushed it in its throat and spit it out and ate all the pieces that came off that didn't have a metal hook in it.
Yeah. Interesting. Wow, that's great.
Good stuff.
Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup, a lot more of your phone calls, tons of great tech still coming your way. You stay tuned. We're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on that Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090.
Rock Cod Rick here to tell you about Parker Boats and the guys at West Coast Marine. By now, you all know my boat partner and I bought a new 25 Parker Center console from Kevin Kelly and the crew at West Coast Marine in Costa Mesa. We've known for a long time that a Parker was the boat for us. It's a stout workhorse of a boat built to last and get you home when the seas get rough. Parker Boats at the launch ramp, the offshore tuna grounds. You wake up in the morning on an overnight trip and there they are. Parker Boats of all sizes, fishing in the same areas as the sporties. There's a good reason for it: fishability and seaworthiness. West Coast Marine has several new Parker in stock and ready for delivery. A 2520 XLD pilot house with a $25,000 discount, a 2510 walk around with a $23,000 discount, and a 2320 pilot house with a $15,000 discount, and they have more on the way. Don't get caught without a reliable boat when fishing is this good. Take it from me, if you're ready for a new Parker at a fair, upfront, and honest deal, you need to see Kevin Kelly at West Coast Marine. Check out the inventory and information at westcoastmarine.com.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels. With the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities, Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short 2-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
Hi, this is Scott Sherman for Snap Insurance. I'm back from City Hall and ready to help you with all your insurance needs. I can provide you with the best in boat insurance at the lowest rates. But there's more to a policy than just a low rate. I know the coverage you need and will make sure your boat and property are covered right. Work with us to wrap your home, auto, and boat policy to save even more money. We can also help you with your commercial or business insurance. Call me, Scott Sherman, at Snap Insurance, 619-908-3100 or snapins.com.
For over 30 years, Sea Falcon has been manufacturing the finest handmade jigs and plugs, utilizing superior components and hand-painted finishes. Sea Falcon lures are made in Japan and are based on hand-carved originals, utilizing the highest level of quality and attention to detail. Gamakatsu's premium assist hooks are ideal to pair with Sea Falcon lures, providing you with one of the highest quality lure combinations on the market. When you're shopping for premium jigs and plugs to chase the fish of a lifetime, look no further than Sea Falcon.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning talking surf fishing with the expert, Bill Varney, surf fishing extraordinaire. Having a great time this morning. It's been a very busy morning on the phone,
yeah,
but
has.
Still time to get you through. That's 213-432-1090 or yet another of those great texts on that Let's Talk Hookup app.
Yeah, let's go ahead and jump to the phones, Rick.
You got it. Arnie from Vista is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, Arnie. Good morning.
Hey, Arnie.
Good morning, Arnie.
Good morning, guys. Pete, it's good to hear that you get to your office. It looks sound like your recovery is getting good. And,
we're getting better.
And Bill, the question. Oh, great, great. You know, the question I got for Bill, I think I heard at the very beginning of the show you're thinking about starting the seminars again here, like we do at South Carlsbad and up the coast. Is that going to happen next year, hopefully?
I would be really surprised if it doesn't happen. And so we will begin in May at Crystal Cove, and then we'll be between San Diego and Morro Bay for May, June, July, August, and probably September this year. So we're looking to have quite a few back on the beach again. And what we do is we have those at the state beaches, and we have to petition them to get a permit, essentially, which is odd because they're the ones who asked us originally to do them there, but to do their paperwork. And then we submit that in December. And then after about 2 months of review, they get back to us and approve our dates. So we'll be working on that, and we should have all that information up on our site in March.
And all sponsored by CCA.
Those are sponsored by CCA, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Fantastic.
They're not only sponsored by CCA, but all of the proceeds go to CCA.
Wow.
So it's really wonderful. I think on each one of those, we probably donate somewhere between $1,500 and $2,000.
Good for you, Bill. Wow. We want to thank you for all your generous support of CCA.
Oh, CCA is incredible. They've done so much.
We gotta have it, man.
Absolutely. They're keeping us alive out there as anglers.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Arnie. Appreciate the call this morning.
Yeah, hey, a great text came through. This one's for Bill. At Fred Hall Show, I noticed that you've sold flies for surf fishing. I'm assuming that you're not necessarily using a fly casting outfit. Do you fish this with a spinning rod and a Carolina setup? Are you indeed fly casting? All those questions from Norman in San Diego.
Great questions, Norman. Love it. Absolutely. We fish the Carolina rig. So instead of putting anchovy or a sand crab on the end of it, we're going to tie a fly on there. Use a little bit longer leader. The Clouser minnow forever, really since my dad's fishing in the 1930s, has been one of the top baits in the surf for halibut. And those Clouser minnows, they are probably about 2 to 3 inches long. Chartreuse and white, red and white have been some of the better colors. And one thing about those Clousers is they have a weighted head on them, so they do stay down on the bottom. And the best thing to do is just cast them out and retrieve them slowly toward shore. And as they bounce along the bottom there, that's where you're going to find the fish. And in halibut fishing with those, once again, fish them in areas where you're adjacent to rock structure. So if you can stand 2 or 3 feet over to the side of a jetty and cast right along the edge of the jetty where those rocks meet the sand, that's where you're going to find the halibut.
Fly fishermen can be very successful in the surf. I used to do a lot of fly fishing in the surf, and 250 grain sink tip, 8-weight rod, 7-weight rod, and Clouser minnow, chartreuse and white Clouser minnow with a a little bead head on it,
mm-hmm.
and you can destroy the fish on the fly.
That's cool.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You need a stripping basket because you mm-hmm. don't want your line whapping all around your feet and stuff
exactly.
like that.
Exactly, or get some kelp and the line
going
together.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, flies in the surfer, amazingly deadly.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the only thing that holds you back all the time from using the fly rod in the surf is just the onshore breeze.
Yeah.
And then, of course, your back cast, depending on how crowded, crowded it is.
That's always nice.
At the beach.
Yeah.
But you can apply it both through the spinning.
Yeah.
So you can use a conventional gear on it, a bass setup. You can use the spinning gear, and then, of course, you can use the fly rod and the surf. They all work. And I've only, over the years, really seen a handful of fly fishermen in the surf. But some of these guys, where the outlets come out and break out into the open ocean, perch fishing, I've seen a few guys over the years, just one right after another, everything from palm size to the 16-inch.
That's cool.
Barred perch. Amazing.
Wow. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phones.
You got it, buddy. Kevin in Escondido is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Kevin, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning. Hey, how's it going, Bill?
Going
hey,
great. Thank
I had
you.
A question spot fin croaker. When's the best time to target spot fin croaker? In the evening on the incoming tide, or what's your take on that?
Well, first of all, spot fin croaker are going to bite all year long. And when we have years like this year, don't be surprised if you get an incredible bite, let's say in February. Whenever we have these Santa Ana winds and these high pressure zones, it extends their, foraging period, I guess you would say, all the way from the springtime throughout really the entire year. And spot fin croaker, they like primarily early morning and evening periods of time, but that doesn't mean that you can't catch them in the middle of the day. And one of their favorite times to feed, without question, is at high tide, around the high tide periods. So 2 hours before high tide to 2 hours after high tide. And as far as spot fin are concerned, I've caught a lot of them on bloodworms and ghost shrimp and a few on sand crabs, but I've really caught them on everything. I've caught them on grubs before. I've caught them on gulp baits before, and they normally run in groups. So if you find one or you catch one, hook one, you can pretty much assume, along with yellowfin croaker, that they're in a big school in that area. Another thing, too, is they will feed, and if you catch one, they'll normally feed in their area for several days. So if you catch one today, you better be down there again tomorrow morning and try and farm again.
Okay. Good tips. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Kevin from San Clemente sent in a text. Says, I love surf fishing opportunities here in South Orange County, but I only use soft shell sand crabs. How do I find them?
That's a good question. As the water gets colder in this subtropical climate we're down here, they will go into hibernation. So the real trick and the secret, the secret's coming out now. I'm going to have competition now. In the wintertime, under almost any pier is where you're going to find them. They will congregate underneath the pier near the pilings where the sand is a bit softer, and they can find food upon those pilings to feed. On the open beach, they'll all be gone. They'll go into hibernation, they'll disappear.
Really?
But underneath the pier at high tide is a place and the time to look for it. And it doesn't matter if it's Pacific Beach or Oceanside or Newport or Belmont Pier.
Right along the
Seal Beach Pier.
And there'll be soft shells.
There'll be some soft shells in the summer, in the winter you'll normally find most, if not all of them, hard, because they don't lose their shell until the water temperature turns about 64 degrees. But remember, the fish are eating what occurs naturally in the area where they live. So if all the crabs are hard in that area, they're definitely eating hard crabs.
Yeah.
If there's some soft shells, you're going to find some, you know, that they're probably concentrating more on the soft shell.
Okay.
That's great
stuff.
Yeah, I love it. Hey, Charlie from Santa Rosa is up next on the phones here on Let's Talk Hookup. Charlie, good morning.
Good morning. Nice to talk to you guys. I sold my boat, so when the Dungeness crab season opens up here, I used to just put out pots, but now the only way you can get them is to put out either one of those netted hoops, and you have to stand by it. I'm not having a boat. I'm not doing that. So I started to use a snare, and I went out with a buddy, and his snares, crab snares, are quite a bit different than mine. Mine have fairly heavy monofilament hoops on them. His had lighter, and I would like to know what your speaker has to say about that. And also, where does he place the weight and what type of weight he would use for a crab snare?
So you're talking about like a Dungeness crab, a crab that you would eat with. And we were, course, talking about sand crabs, which
crab,
are much, much smaller than those. I don't know a lot about The Dungeness crab, all I know is that a lot of the gear has been changed because of the whale entanglement. And as a matter of fact, they tried to get rid of all of it completely, and now they've gone to more of a snare setup. So I'm sorry, I really can't answer that question for you.
I'm fascinated by crab snares. Don't know anything about it. I know what they are. I've seen it, and I'm fascinated by it. I would love to go do it. Don't know a lick about it, so I couldn't be of any help either. But I just think it's such a unique way to capture something to eat that I dig it. I think they're really cool, but
bizarre.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Another text came through. This one from Gary in Fallbrook. He says, when my Parker stays on the trailer due to wind, I surf fish in North County. Can you please talk about surf fishing distances from shore? I usually cast far and work in, but it seems like I waste a lot of time and not getting further out.
Okay. Let me tell you a story about that. Story time.
Yeah.
So I would say 70-80% of all the fish are within 60 feet of the shore, and they're inside very close there because that's where the food's churned up. The bottom has troughs and holes there, and they can hide there, get out of the current there. They can hide in the turbidity so the other big fish don't get them. So when you're casting out to the surf line or outside the surf line, you're not going to primarily get corbina, spotfin, croaker, yellowfin. You might get spotfin, but yellowfin, croaker, perch, those are all going to be on the inside. And with that story told, just this summer in La Jolla, one of the local guides here, Nick Hyde, had a client out who's a friend of mine, and they had a rod that they cast way outside the surf line, you know, 12-foot rod. They used a steel leader. They were basically shark fishing. I believe they were using a cut-up mackerel, half a mackerel or so out there, and that was in the rod holder. And then they had their small rods, their trout rods, and they're fishing inside there, catching a couple of small corbina and some perch and a yellowfin croaker or two, and all of a sudden that big rod went off. So they looked at that rod, and they knew they had something, and they really were hoping for that big shark. So he fought that fish, and he fought that fish, and he finally got into shore right before sunset, and it was a 40-pound-plus yellowtail.
Whoa! From the surf?
From the surf. Is by far the biggest one I've ever seen.
No way!
A huge one. This is a Guadalupe yellowtail.
Yeah!
That was in the La Jolla kelp there that came inside to feed, and it picked up his bait, and he had it. So it doesn't mean that you can't use that big equipment and fish outside, but it's really got a different purpose, and you have a much lower probability of catching fish with that than you would with fishing on the inside. And when I was a kid, that's all we used. We had these 14-foot Calcuttas, and we'd use a Jigmaster with 40-pound test and a 4-ounce sinker and cast that thing out as, you know, because we used to think if we get out by the barge out there, it's where the big fish are. And every time, you know, I'd watch it, my line would start moving, and I'd reel in to see what was going on. I didn't have a fish. I wonder if I had any bait left. And right before I'd get to shore, boom, I'd catch a fish right there. And that happened over and over again until I realized all the fish are really close to shore.
Yeah.
And that's why we fish the light line, so we can be close to shore where the fish are.
We had a question last couple of weeks about getting kids into fishing and an action being king. And is perching a good thing for kids because they're, you know, it's, you know, you're walking on the shore and there's plenty of action, or are there better things to focus on? You know what I mean? Like, is it so accessible that a kid could do it, or do you really need to concentrate and make a good cast kind of more so? Like, would you say it's a good intro to kids fishing, or is that maybe a little higher up the chain?
I'm thinking that's a little higher up the chain because, you know, in normal, you're going to have to go find the fish.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when it comes to the kids and perch fishing and stuff, and this is exactly how I started out on the Horseshoe Pier in Redondo Beach when I was probably just old enough to hold my head up, as we'd go out on the pier and cut up little pieces of shrimp, of raw shrimp, and put them on the hook and drop them off the pier. And there's thousands of perch around the pier and the pilings. And that's a great way for the kids to get started and get their first fish. But when it comes to the beach, you know, definitely get the trout rod, and, you know, maybe they'll last 15 or 20 minutes or so, and then they'll lose interest. And at that point, it's time to do what I did with my daughter and son. We would go down, and I'd give each one of them a little pail or something, and I'd say to them, I want you to go and collect sand crabs for me, and whoever gets the most sand crabs gets a chocolate shake on the way home.
Whoa!
And man, I had bait coming out my ears.
I love it. That's great.
That's cool. A good one.
Very cool. Well, hey, let's jump into the phones, talk to our surf fisherman who calls all the time, Hills from Ventura. What's up, Hills? Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys. Man, I just caught my first perch in a long time here in Ventura, which is great. You didn't let that thing go. Fishing a lucky crap with the owner 1-0 replacement hooks. I like to use that in case I get a trophy on there. Only need one of those hooks. I was going to ask Bill about warm and cold water affecting the bait on the beach, because it seemed like when we had that real hot water, when the, you know, the guy caught the 600-pound blue marlin, you know, and all that, and we had wahoo, I didn't see a lot of bait, you know, along the shore. And I was figuring, oh, the water's not cold enough. Is that a factor that you've tracked over the years? And because now we have a cooler year, and I'm not seeing a lot of bait right here, but it seems to be getting better as far as sardine and anchovy on the beach kind of thing.
That Hills, that is exactly right. Boy, you hit the nail on the head there. So you went back, if you go back a few years ago to where we had this real warm water down here in San Diego and then moving its way, I mean, it was really quite warm in Santa Barbara. You're exactly right. The number of sand crabs diminished exponentially when we had that. As a matter of fact, down here in San Diego, there's almost none down here at all. And what happened is up in Monterey, for example, in an area where I would go up and we'd catch, you know, 100 barred perch that were maybe 8 to 10 inches, tons of little tiny ones, they were catching 13, 14, 15 inches like they were falling from the sky because all of this bait actually migrated north. If you can believe that, sand crabs, they just don't stay in one area. It's not that they swim, but they make their way north as that water warms up. And I think in particular their eggs move north too, as that we get these swells from the south and it pushes up this warm, clear water from the south, creates a current that goes up the coast, and their eggs move with it. And as you find the cooler areas, you find the greater numbers of sand crabs. So when the water gets warm, not only the sand crabs leave, but a lot of the fish will move north. And that's when we have these incredible bites in Santa Barbara and East Beach and Carpinteria for these big corbina, because those are corbina you would have found in Hermosa, Manhattan, Redondo, Huntington Beach, Newport Beach. They had all moved north.
They're following the bait.
They're following their food. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow.
That's great.
Huh. That's good stuff. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out who's got themselves that full killer prize pack. One of our callers and one of our texters. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on Let's Talk Hookup, Southern California Sport Fishing Voice on the Mightier 1090.
Hey, guys, this is Ali Husseini from Local Knowledge and Beatty Outdoors. I'm a lucky guy in so many ways, and one thing I'm really grateful for is my little brother, Yosef. Yosef is not only a fellow angler, but he's also an amazing realtor that specializes in helping us in the angling community find the ultimate home. If you own a home, get a free no-obligation evaluation online now by typing in SoCalHomeEval.com. That's SoCalHomeEval.com. All you do is put in your address, and you'll get a home value report immediately sent to your email. No pressure, no obligations, just answers. Yosef is the SoCal real estate go-to guy. He's helped me and so many of my fellow fishing buddies find what they're looking for in a home. He knows anglers and he understands the real estate market. Not only that, but he's also a really nice guy. How many brothers can you say that about? Go to SoCalHomeEval.com and find out where you stand in the real estate market, and then get with Yosef and find your ultimate home. Again, go to SoCalHomeEval.com and we'll see you on the water.
Have you been looking for a live bait hook that keeps live bait alive? Look no further than Japan's leading fish hook, Gamakatsu. It's the little things that make the difference, and Gamakatsu hooks drive the point home. With an absolute perfect bend and ideal barbs, your bait swims harder and longer. And when you get bit, Gamakatsu hooks bite back with a vengeance. All hooks are not the same. Go with Gamakatsu for infinite success. Gamakatsu, simply the best. Check Gamakatsu.com.
Cass Tours is a family-owned and operated travel company that specializes in taking you to great fishing destinations. They take pride in providing the best and most affordable vacation packages available. Cass Tours has been creating unique sport fishing and vacation trips for decades. Whether it's a fishing trip or a family vacation, they will provide you the service and value you deserve. Call Cass Tours at 800-593-6510 or check casstours.com. Great fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. To charters or schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Okay, it's time. The big prize pack winners of the full package, including the Surf Fishing book, the Surf Fish ID card, the brand new 2022 CCA Bill Varney calendar, and the Crab and Go bait catching system. Going to, on our callers, Donovan and Murrieta. Congratulations, Donovan. And from the texters, the big winner was Gary from Fallbrook. Guys, congratulations. You're going to love your killer prize packs.
Yeah, and this Bill Varney CCA calendar built such a great job, 2022 calendar. How do you other than just having you know the Ali everywhere on the
other than calling Ali,
where do you get the photos? How do you get the photos?
We are so blessed. We have almost all of the photos. Jack Nielsen's photos. We have lots of his.
Yeah, really cool tribute to Jack Nielsen in there.
Exactly.
Too, yeah.
What a wonderful person and such a generous person.
He was a great photographer too.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have all of Tony Pena's photographs, which is both of them now have passed away. And many other, Ron Belante, Jim Hendricks, many other of the top photographers in the fishing industry have made their photographs available to us.
Yeah.
We're incredibly lucky to have them and thankful.
The cover shot is spectacular. A Nerado lit up. West. I mean, it looks like there's a battery pack in it. He's so lit up. And he's standing on the surf. It's such a cool cover shot.
On the beach. This, just a couple weeks ago, that's Wesley on the cover. His daughter caught a big rooster fish on the beach, and I had to give him the bad news that he's not making 3 years in a row. His daughter's on the cover next year, man.
And then I love January, too, with Jack Nielsen and
a fat one.
Yeah, big fat yellowfin tuna and some great guys in the fishing industry there. That's really good stuff. And, of course, a reminder about Let's Talk Hookup. 30 years and on every month, which we
on every single month,
which we thank you for that.
We couldn't have done it without you, Pete.
Well,
so thankful.
How do we get
done.
This?
Very easy to pick up. Just go to your favorite tackle shop. Go to all the Landings, all the Turner Outdoorsmen, or go to surffishtackle.com.
All right. And about all your other stuff, how do we get that?
I want that rod.
The best thing to do is just go to fishthesurf.com, which is my website that has all my tips and articles and information. And I'm working right now with BD Outdoor to publish all 400 of my articles I've written about surf fishing. They'll be all available online.
Cool.
Everything from how to find halibut in the surf to fishing with Wes down in Cabo San Lucas.
Really?
That'll be exciting.
That'll be some good. And when can we look for that?
I'm hoping that'll be out maybe another month or so. It takes a while to convert all that and all the photographs into their system. But
excellent.
We're in the middle of it. So by the beginning of next year, it should be introduced by then.
All right. Well, Bill, we sure appreciate you coming out.
Job,
thank you very much.
This is fun.
Thank you. And thanks to JP for all he does. Appreciate all he does. And we'll be back next Saturday and Sunday. Another couple of great shows. Next Saturday, Captain Frank Lopresti from the Royal Polaris will be here. Frank will have some information. He's been on the water a lot. He's going to be full. And you know what? Long range fishing right now is really good. It's really good. So we'll have some good stuff. And then next Sunday, the one and only Mike Lum from Captain Rollo's Kids at Sea, and we'll have some special guests at that show, too. We'll be talking about the big kickoff for the Captain Rollo's program and the big grand raffle. And we'll have some special deals on that day. So that's next Sunday.